Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
A little bit later on, and trust that God will get a hold of our hearts. We've had some babies born here of late, too. I guess you're aware of that. Grace Taylor was born. Lindsay Hope Cowan was born this last week. And man, that's exciting. I know the parents are excited. And again, congratulations. I want to read a lengthy passage of Scripture. Would you follow along with me without daydreaming? Would you do that? By the way, what's the day? What's happening today? Church is right. It's church. It's not the Super Bowl. That's later, all right? And it's not the priority of the day. You know, just set that aside. I'm going to challenge you, maybe during the announcements, to use that event for the glory of God. There's only one way you can do that. I'll share that with you during announcements because it's not part of my message this morning. But it's the Lord's Day, right? Man, we're going to be here no matter who's in the Super Bowl. If the Detroit Lions were in the Super Bowl, we'd all die of a heart attack, wouldn't we? We'd all sit down. I fully expect the Lord Jesus Christ, the trumpet is the year the Lions make the Super Bowl. What's going to happen in the 2 weeks between that final game and the Super Bowl? That's when the Lord comes. We're never going to get to experience it. But even if the Lions were playing in the Super Bowl, we have church at 6 o'clock. There's no reason to put anything of the world in front of the Lord. Let's go to Genesis in chapter 19. That's really easy to amen, isn't it? Man, we're staunch fundamentalists. The Lions aren't in it, the Packers aren't in it, and whoever else isn't in it, so yeah, it's one of those other teams, all right? Verse 1 of chapter 19, I won't have you stand. We've already had scripture reading. It pertains to what I'm going to preach. But I just want to give you the background here very quickly, and you know the story of the two angels that come to Lot. God is ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, the cities of the plain, because of their debauchery, because of their filthiness, because they've gotten so far from the truth and so far from God. And I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but if you'd follow along with me, and then I'm going to preach not on sodomy, but on something else. Verse 1 says, and there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat at the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly. And they turned into him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and he did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. Evil and perversion. I'm confronted with it here, and I'm confronted with it on a daily, no, I won't say daily, weekly basis because of meeting people and trying to help them and counseling them. I can't help but say this as I'm reading about Lot. How did it get to this? How did it come this far? Lot at one time had as big a herds as Abraham. Lot at one time knew the blessings of God. And Lot was given the opportunity, and he chose the cities of the plain. He became a judge there in the city and sat in the gate. And I know that Lot, because he's called Righteous Lot in the New Testament, I know he did not choose the cities of the plain thinking that he would lose everything. That would all come to naught. His offspring would be the Ammonites and the, who else? Moabites. Am I right? Yeah, that becomes his offspring. Evil nations, evil people. It says in verse 4, but before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter, and they called unto Lot and said unto him, where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them. And that's talking about intimacy. That's talking about sexual perversion. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him. And said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have, this blows my mind. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. Rape, adultery, fornication. Lot is saying, that's not so bad compared to what you want to do to these men. I'm thinking, are you kidding? Lot had sunk to an all-time low. He was willing to offer them his daughters. Verse 9. And they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand, that's the angels, and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because of the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. To his sons-in-law, Lot was a joke. And the message of judgment was just a big laugh. And when the morning arose, and the angels hastened Lot, saying, arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth, and set him without the city. They were told to escape to the mountain. Go on down, all the way down to verse 24. And the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities that grew upon the ground. Verse 28 speaks of Abraham. He got up early in the morning, verse 27, verse 28, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. Why'd you stand with me one more time? We're gonna have a word of prayer, and I'm going to get to it. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning, and God, I just pray that you'd help me to communicate Bible today in a way that everyone here can understand. I pray that we would see the great sin of sodomy, and more important than that this morning, the sin that is the root of so many sins. God, help me to make it clear and plain. It doesn't have to be pretty. Doesn't have to be winsome. But God, we want the word of God. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 49 and 50. I'd like everybody to turn there. We probably aren't going to go back to Genesis and chapter 39 this morning. The sin of sodomy is a terrible sin. It's a sin that is not blessed of God. God does not look upon favorably. In Romans in chapter 1 and verse 27... I'll turn there. You need not turn there. You just stay in Ezekiel unless you can get there real quickly. Romans in chapter 1 and verse 27. The last days, here's what Paul said, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. God is against sodomy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6 and verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Go back to Leviticus in chapter 20 and verse 13. These are some verses I just need to lay for groundwork here this morning. Leviticus and chapter 20 and verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death, and their blood shall be upon them. Now that just simply says, that's the Old Testament law. That's the Levitical law. That just tells us how God feels about that sin. God feels that same way about that sin. But here's the great news. Jesus came to this earth, and he went to the cross of Calvary, and he died on behalf of all sinners. And all of the sins of the world were placed on his body while he hung there on the cross. He became the sin bearer, went to the grave, and then rose again on the third day. Here's the deal. No matter what sin you are guilty of, Jesus died for you in your place. And he took your sin and nailed it to the cross, it tells us in Colossians. And Jesus paid the price for all of my sin. So even if you are a sodomite, even if you are someone that is caught up in lesbianism or homosexuality, God loves you. God died for you. He sent his son for you. God the Son shed his blood that you might have forgiveness of sins. And your sin is black and it's evil, but Jesus paid the price for that sin. And if you'll come to him, you too can be born again. You too can be made clean, washed thoroughly, just as clean as the adulterer, just as clean as the murderer, just as clean as the thief, just as clean as the gossip that comes to Christ, and they're born again. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. But I wanted to say this. Heterosexual means we're different than women. Homosexual, that speaks of the same. That prefix means the same. It is not an alternative lifestyle. It is not something that God winks at. It is one of the indicators of the last days in which we live, just like it was in Noah's day, and just like it is today. Just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, just like it is today. And if I'm not careful, I could spend the whole time this morning preaching against this sin, Bible passage after Bible passage, but that's not really what I want to preach on. The sin I want to preach on is a sin that pretty much all of us are guilty of. Some right now. In Ezekiel and chapter 16 and verses 49 and 50. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. I wasn't talking about homosexuality in this verse, because that homosexuality started somewhere. Remember what I said when I was reading, we were reading in the book of Genesis? How could it come to this? I'm sure that Lot, when he was on his own, sitting and actually thinking, and the Bible tells us he's a righteous man, I'm sure he looked at his family and thought, how did it come to this? How could we have gotten so far away from God? The sin of Sodom, the sodomy started somewhere, and it started not with homosexuality. It started with the sin of pride. It says in verse 49, behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Pride, fullness of bread, and abundance of idleness was in her and in her daughters. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy. And they were haughty, and committed abomination before me. Therefore I took them away as I saw good. Pride. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 6 speaks to the preacher, says, lest being lifted up with pride, we fall into condemnation. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 says, the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before the fall. So pride is not of God. Pride is inward ambition. Pride is a haughty spirit. It is a self-deceiving, self-inflating, self-destroying spiritual cancer that brings about all kinds of other sins. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning and go to Proverbs in chapter 6. Proverbs in chapter 6 and verses 16 and 17. Some of the proudest people in the world walk through church doors on Sunday morning. I'm preaching to the church this morning. Some of the proudest people in the world carry a King James Bible and sit in a church pew and have no time to reach others that are around them. And that is an abomination. I want to tell you, spiritually, we must get low. John the Baptist, a man of great humility, the Bible says. When he saw Jesus, he said, I'm not worthy to unloose the shoes from his feet. John the Baptist said, I must decrease so that he, Christ, will increase. That's a spirit of humility. That is the opposite of pride. And I tell you, pride's a terrible thing. I have to face it all of the time. Not that I got anything to be proud about, but somehow I get proud once in a while. And about once a week, this may surprise you, but about once a week, I really get chewed out by something. Usually it's unjust. And I bite my lip. It's because of who I am, or what we believe. And I know some of you are clueless that that ever happens. So here I am pastoring the largest congregation in the Eastern Upper Peninsula, and I stand there and I get chewed out. And it's not always. Sometimes I get chewed out, and it's just, all right? sometimes it's hard to believe too. I know this is just as hard to believe, that sometimes I mess up. Sometimes I use poor judgment, and someone would chew me out. And he said, who would chew out the pastor? I'm not even talking about my wife. I mean, it happens, all right? It happens. And pride gets in the road sometimes, a little bit of haughtiness. Sometimes I'm getting chewed out. Sometimes it has to do with the gospel. Sometimes it doesn't. You people are so judgmental over there. And they say, just start unloading on me. And I try to put in a good word. I try to share the word of God. But sometimes when it's going on, I'm thinking, man, if I could just be in the, just for 5 minutes. God, I don't even need 5 minutes. Give me 60 seconds. I'll feel so good afterwards. But you know, you can't do that. Pride is a terrible sin. I want you to know this. Pride has caused more wars. Pride has divided more families. And pride has sent more souls to hell than I am sure, any other sin. Pride was the very sin that Lucifer was guilty of when he rebelled against God in the ancient past. Pride is a terrible sin. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Very first one, a proud look. Look at chapter 21. Chapter 21 in Proverbs, verse 4. An high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. That attitude that I am better than most is going to get you into trouble. You've got to look into the mirror of God's word and realize I am not as good as the Savior. I have fallen short of the glory of God. You cannot, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, they comparing themselves among themselves is not wise. You will always find someone that you are more spiritual than. You can't do that. Here is our standard, right here in my brand new Bible. Here is our standard. It is the very word of God. Here's the measuring stick. So that leaves no room for pride. A proud look, a high and lofty and arrogant heart is sin. That's what the Bible says. For the record, we at Fundamental Baptist Church don't think we're better than other people. You get accused of that all the time. I don't know if you know that or not. Just because we have some standards, that doesn't make us judgmental. In fact, God's people that are living by the book are the most loving people in the world. But don't get proud about that. God's people that are living by the book and closest to Christ, they are the most loving people in the world. But for the record, we do not think we're better than other people. I'll give you a very right down to the earthly illustration of that. Our Christian school played Ojibwe last week. We got there and found out, and I wasn't there, I was just told this by many of the people, that the four of the starting five or something like that on their boys' team are people that come to our King's Kids and youth groups. And so here's Maplewood Baptist Academy playing some of the King's Kids and youth group kids. So it was like Fundamental Baptist Church playing Fundamental Baptist Church. And our people cheered when they made a basket. And that was good. And I was told Pastor Bill was leading the way. And so they had people from the opposition that weren't the opposition. They knew exactly who we were cheering for us or cheering for them. And you know, that's not looking down at anybody. That's becoming all things to all men that we might win some. We went all the way over to Hannibal, and I just went on Friday and watched the guys and the girls play. And one of the guys on a little team that was playing at the halftime was some kids, a young man that comes to Canaan Lamb Baptist Bible Camp. And they told me about him. I asked him, his name's Dalton. Okay, so I went over there and looked real smart and said, hey, Dalton, how you doing? And he looked at me with this great big surprise look, like the pastor would know his name. I didn't tell them that I just got through asking. I said, you go to Canaan Land, don't you? He said, yeah, I do. I said, you don't even know who I am, do you? And he said, oh, yeah, I do. I said, no, you don't even know who I am. And I kind of had fun with that because the truth is I didn't know who he was. But, you know, a good defense is a good offense, right? And that's kind of where how I went at that. But I want to go on record. We here do not think we're better than other people. It's not us against the world. It's we want to follow God. Come along and join us. We want to help you follow God. We want to help you in your family. So don't think I'm better than most. As a matter of fact, two times in the book of Corinthians, Paul wrote to the church of Corinth and told them they were nothing. a very gifted church, but he told them that they were nothing. In fact, Paul said in the book of Corinthians, that very first epistle, he said, I am the least of the apostles. That sounds like humility to me. That sounds like an absence of pride. He says over in Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse 8, unto me whom is least of all the saints. He not only said he was the least of the apostles, he said he was least of all the family of God. That's humility. That is a life that is absent of pride. And the truth is, if you think you're just better than most, you're looking in the wrong direction for the standard. You need to turn completely around and start looking to Jesus and start looking to the Word of God and realize that you haven't arrived. Second point, pride will get to the place where you think, I'm as good as I need to be. What a mistake that is. Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone unto his own way. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 20 says, for there is not a just man upon the earth, there is none that seeketh good. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. It was the same apostle Paul that said in 1 Timothy 1:15, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He said, I'm less than the least. There needs to be a humility, a humbling of God's people. Last Sunday morning, I preached on revival. If my people, which are called by my name, what's the first thing? Shall humble themselves. We need that humility, that God-given humility. Man, I'm almost out of time. Not even halfway through. I'll just kind of start to wrap it up by saying this. I'm a wicked, low-down, sin-drenched, smelly, with a stench sinner. But I'm saved by grace, and I belong to God. And I don't claim to have anything special in and of myself. Don't let the devil convince you, number three, that I'm all that matters. That's a mistake. I am not all that matters. Newsflash, God can get along without you. Newsflash, God can get along without Pastor Rader. God can get along without Fundamental Baptist Church. He chooses our fellowship. He chooses to love us. What a wonderful privilege, a place of privilege that we live in. But don't think that you are all that matters. That is self-deceiving. Sometimes we live in such a little world. It's my own world. It's my personal world. Don't ruffle my feathers. You know, that pride thing is a terrible thing. I'm looking at my notes. I'm trying to skip through a whole lot here. I'll go right to the last point. I can sin and get away with it. That is arrogance. That is audacious. The audacity of that thought is unbelievable. Numbers 32:23 says, be sure your sin will find you out. The Bible tells us, whosoever covereth his sin will not prosper. We cannot allow ourselves to become an uptown church. It's just a little tune-up this morning is all it is. I'm not, you know, there's no big red flags flagging, you know, waving right now. But it's a tune-up. I know our hearts. I know exactly what we're like. And we cannot allow ourselves to have pride take over. Turn your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter in chapter 5. It's what was read this morning by Pastor Josh. Pride is repulsive to God. God says, I will hold you that are full of pride at arm's length. Because the proud man doesn't know who butters his bread. The proud man thinks he's getting it done all by himself. The proud person has no prayer closet, no prayer life. The proud person doesn't study the Word of God because, you know, they're self-sufficient. And I can make it on my own. I just need God once in a while. You would never say that with words, and I would never say that with words, but that's the way we live many times. And that pride, that needs to be set aside. And we need to bow low in humility so that God can bless. I'll say it again. Pride is self-deceiving, self-inflating, and a self-destroying spiritual cancer. It will lead to other sins, just like happened in Lot's life. It will lead you, the devil will take you down a primrose path, and you think everything's going fine. You know it's not. There's a real battle going on the inside, but you continue down that path of sin, and it's a dead end. It's worse than a dead end. You could be like Lot and lose everything. He was a wealthy man. It was all taken from him. He had a wonderful family, all taken from him. And he got two of his daughters out of Sodom, but he couldn't get Sodom out of his daughters. And two wicked nations arose through him. You don't want that for your grandchildren. 1 Peter chapter 4, I'm sorry, chapter 5. And the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples or ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's Jesus, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and he giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I had a little issue with pride in my life this last week. I wasn't totally in the wrong. I think I used some poor judgment. And then I was proud. That's wrong. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and then he gives grace. And he'll exalt you in due season, but it'll be his season, and he'll give grace. The humble will always know the blessing of God. Read the Beatitudes. That's what it's all about. So here we are, people that are going to heaven. Think about it. I'm going to live at God's house, the eternal heaven. I'll know the glories and the splendors and the blessing of basking in the presence of God for all of eternity. A son of the King. And I'm down here on this earth for just a little while to be heaven's and God's representative. There is no place for me to be lifted up with pride, because it's never going to be about me, and it's never going to be about you. We owe everything to Christ. If my people, which are called by my name, shall come to me.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast, when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.